Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I see you, Pete. I see you and I like you. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. This is a Tom Daly, Eric Arnold production today. We're only doing a two-hour show.
Yeah, we are.
We are done at noon. Because the Nats play a day game in Pittsburgh looking for a series win. So we're working the Bram Weinstein hours today, my friend.
Ooh,
half of a show.
Buddy.
Looking forward to this. This will be fun. Jeremy Hellickson threw five shutout innings last night.
He Hellickson'd last night.
Daniel Murphy, four hits for the first time this season. Anthony Rendon, a two-run homer. Juan Soto on base four times with three hits. And the Nats threw four innings of one-run relief. They are 4-2. Since their players-only meeting, they have a chance to win a second straight series to improve to 5-2 in their last seven. They've gained a game and a half on Philly and 2.5 on the Braves since they locked their clubhouse and said, we're going to chat this thing out.
Two bigly things last night for me. Number one is the Daniel Murphy situation. You and I have been concerned, I think correctly so, by the way. Microvector surgery, no joke. Okay, he still doesn't look right in terms of his gait. I think he stopped trying to go first to third here. Probably had a talking to by an adult. But
we're not sure about that yet. His last opportunity to go first to 30 was thrown out again doing so.
Yeah, so I'm saying since then, a couple nights ago. So the hope is stop trying to do that. But a few line drives in that bat here the last few games, hitting close to 400 here over his last 13 ABs. That is a big sign. And Hellickson kind of getting right and doing what he does. He's going through the lineup a couple times. He's going to limit hard contact. You make a couple defensive plays behind him, you got a chance to win the game. That was a good thing.
Yeah, Murphy 7 for his last 11 in three games, which is massive. And Hellboy, with the five shutout innings, gave them the stellar start they have been looking for now for a couple of weeks from someone that isn't Max Scherzer. Gio Gonzalez on the hill today. It would be huge to get him some runs. We're going to play some audio from Jim Bowden in a minute. And we're going to have you react to it. Bowden took to task a couple of the things Dave Martinez has done in the first half of the year, and he thinks he's got to improve in the second half, which we haven't seen anyone, I don't think, come out and say publicly that he has struggled to this extent, that is as plugged in as Bowden is. I don't agree with everything he had to say, but I think there were some points with some definite merit. So we'll play that audio and see what people think, see how you guys agree or disagree with it, and see what Danny has to say. But first, I've got to tell you about something that happened to me today. So I told you that occasionally with my phone, I will text the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is when I get texts from someone, they show up as like a drop-down bug from the top of my phone. And I don't think that's that abnormal, right? So let's say you text me and you go, hey, just got to the studio. On my home screen, just my locked normal home screen, The bug will drop down. It'll say Danny Ruye just got here. It'll cut off after a while, but it'll give you a couple
if
lines.
If you want to go to it, you can.
Yeah.
One of those things. Yeah, that's standard. The correct iPhone has that too.
So when I occasionally will get one of those, when you go to respond, just by nature, you see that and you go to respond. Occasionally, I will tap the most recent person I was texting instead of whoever had just texted me. Because I saw that text this morning when I woke up.
Okay.
The text was the newest text that I'd gotten, in other words, but it wasn't the most recent text I'd sent. So somehow I go into my text messages and I go to reply, and I replied to the wrong person. So the text had come from my wife.
Okay.
Okay? So the text I sent her back, it sounds weird. But
it's not. You thought you were sending it to your wife, but you didn't.
It was not her.
Okay, I understand now. Yep.
So the text I sent her, which, by the way, this sounds so terrible, and I'm going to it's about my puppy, I swear.
Yeah, but it's how husbands and wives talk to each other. You got your own language. It's normal. It's not a big deal.
So I send this text.
Okay.
Guess who gets to be home early with his little girl today? My little girl is my dog, Fiona.
No, I understand.
If you're Brandon Kinstler of the Washington Nationals and you get that text,
oh man,
when you wake up in Pittsburgh, what are you thinking?
what is this creep talking about? This is almost creepier than when you walked with your puppy and asked these kids if they wanted to ride in your white van to a desolate location in your neighborhood.
That didn't quite happen. But
it's a slight approximation.
Trying to get what you're doing. So, again, the text was, guess who gets to be home early with his little girl today? Oh, sorry. It's worse than that. To play with his little girl today is what it says. To play with his little girl today. Now, again, this is my dog, Fiona. She normally has to be without us until close to 3 o'clock.
Right, yeah.
Today, we're going to be home at 12:30. It's a source of frustration and consternation for us that she has to be in her... But forget, like, you're thinking about this like I'm saying little girl, whatever, which is weird enough. I'm thinking about this like Brandon Kinstler got this text, and this is like my dirty talk to my wife. Like, I'm being like, guess who's coming home to play with his girl today?
Oh, I know. I know what... I I'm imagining. I'm a Major League Baseball reliever. I've had, you know, some interesting and enjoyable banter with a radio host named Grant Paulson over this course of this year and a half.
We were texting last night after the game about how his inning went, which is that he got a bunch of balls that were hit at about 2 miles an hour and somehow a run got scored. And he basically was talking about how baseball is unfair.
Yeah.
But not important. But the first text he gets today at 8 in the morning while he's still asleep is that. So then I have to respond to that, obviously.
You clearly need to follow up there. You can't just leave that out there.
Do I let that one sit? Do I just go right back to the well? So I responded. I said, LOL, that is a pretty embarrassing text. It was meant for my wife about me getting off early today to go home to play with our puppy. Let's just pretend it never happened, okay? He responded to me. I'm not going to tell you what he said. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
I can't read it because... fairly inappropriate.
Because there are rules and restrictions that govern
look
what
we're
doing.
Look at his hashtag.
Oh, my God.
Tommy, come over here and look what Brandon Kinstler. He's gray. That is what he responded to me.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God. Everyone would be fired.
There's a couple words in there I can't say.
There are. Well, it's
but
really,
then I sent a picture of my puppy.
It's one long word, but there are two words masquerading in it. And it's in hashtag.
Don't give
form.
Any more details.
They're all bad words.
Was there a response after you sent the picture of Fiona?
There's been no response to that.
I think your relationship with Brandon Kinstler might be over.
I'm not worried about that. We've got a pretty good back and forth going via text for some time now. So I think we're in the clear on that.
One more question.
Yeah.
Does Brandon Kinstler have any children?
Yes, he does. He does have kids.
Does he have a daughter?
I have no idea. I only know that I met his son this past weekend.
Okay, because I could see it could be a little taunting if you sent that to him and he might have a young daughter who's at home.
Oh, you're I think
Tommy,
you're...
what are you
you're
doing
being weird
over there?
A little bit.
What are you saying?
Yeah, but that was his response. And then I sent a picture of my puppy, like a really cute picture of my puppy.
It's a great response. Yeah. I'm good on your puppy. Thank you.
Yeah.
The
look at Fiona, though. Look at this picture.
Yeah, you need the same reminder that attractive women on Instagram need. There's nothing special about your dog.
How does she enjoy the new crate? Does she like it?
So, she loves it, Tom. She loves it. Got it yesterday. So much more space for her activities.
For activities? That's a good line.
Thank you.
Stepbrother's bit. Yeah, so here's where I'm coming from. If I'm Brandon Kinstler, I'm minding my business, and I awaken to probably a dozen texts. I'm a major league player, and people from all over the world get to see me play all the time. And that's the one I get from you, apropos of nothing, out of the blue. I'm going, at a minimum, this is weird.
At a maximum,
what is wrong with this guy? Then I see that there's the follow-up is you'd be like,
right.
Oh, you know what? It's actually totally innocent. It's my puppy. That his response, given that, is also correct, I would say. Does that make any sense?
Oh, 100%.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really know where to go with that. So I'm going to let our relationship breathe for a couple days.
Yeah, maybe set a couple plays out.
Let's
say he has a clean inning for a couple straight outings. Wait a few days.
The normal bit is I send him a funny gif after he has a scoreless inning.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll respond with basically his synopsis of what happened, which is generally he's like a surly, prickly, hilarious guy.
Who was it at spring training who said Kinstler is so salty?
I don't remember, but yes,
like
that's true.
He's UVA center Jack Salt. Like that dude is Angelina Jolie's weird movie Salt.
He is a saltine cracker. But for all of you, just so you know, I am going to be spending some extra time with Fiona today. So now the reliever from the Nationals knows that, and everybody else.
Kinsler's weighed
which
in.
She's good.
That but response, can you imagine, by the way, is aces.
It's just such an embarrassing thing. In no other walk of life would I say to someone, guess who gets to go play with his little daughter at home? It's my little puppy. And my wife likes that text. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Text is going to make her happy.
Everybody has something they settle into in a relationship. And I'm sure there are tough dudes being like, I would never talk to my wife that way. Then like he has some pet name for her too. And everybody does stuff kind of like that. For me, again, I think too much is made of the dog. It's a dog. Everyone should treat dogs accordingly, which are wonderful, nice, kind animals, but yours isn't special. And everyone should remember that dogs aren't special. Humans are special. But it's very easy to fall into that kind of trap. But we don't like to reveal that part of ourselves.
It could have been worse. I think anything that would have been, you could be more embarrassing. I could have been sending my wife a text that actually was bad. I don't really do that, but you see what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
I've never sent a photo of myself in any way. But
nor
like,
should you. No one should.
I would never do that.
Right.
But that would be the worst case scenario.
I mean, that's why that Seinfeld episode about no, you're schmoopy is perfect because it's like exactly. People need to be more embarrassed about how they do those sorts of things. Keep it private.
I may never text about my dog again just out of sheer fear at this point. We're Grant and Danny. Oh, next, that audio from Jim Bowden on Dave Martinez, who we think has to pick up his game in the second half of the season. We'll see if you agree or you disagree. You can line up now if you want to weigh in on how Martinez is done as a first-year manager at 800-636-1067. Sean Doolittle, speaking of Nats relievers, is on the show today at 10:45 in the 11 o'clock hour here on Grant and Danny. We got your 14 questions in 14 days training camp countdown. That is 1 hour away right here on G&D. This was Jim.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bowden on the show yesterday on first-year skipper Davey Martinez and his thoughts on the manager. From the GM perspective, where Bowden, former executive of the year, ran the Reds and the Nationals.
I think that he needs to make adjustments. I think he's been slow to make them. I mean, you know, look, he was given a team that's a World Series caliber team. And to be at 500, sure, you can look at the starting pitching and the offense hasn't always been there and there's been injuries. I get that. This team is better than a 500 team. And, you know, it took him a while out of the get-go to understand how to build the lineup here. He's still trying to figure out how to navigate through the outfield. I mean, I just feel like he's been a little bit slow. To be honest with you, I think leaving three starting pitchers in to give up 9 runs or more in the same season, are you kidding me? Like, why would you do that? You start Hellickson, who's really sick, and not only is he sick, anyone looking him in the eyes and watching the sweat pour out of that poor guy's face in that start last week, and he leave him in for 9 runs? Like, what are you watching? Like, I just didn't understand it. Look, I love Dave. He's a good baseball guy. I get it. But I don't think he gets a pass. You know, he has not done a very good job in the first half of the year. He's not doing what Aaron Boone and Alex Cora are. Now, look, I understand it's his first year, and there's a learning curve, and I understand he can't control what the starting pitching has done after Max Scherzer. I get all that, but I think he's been very slow at making adjustments, and he's in a division now where the Braves and Phillies are for real, and they're really good baseball teams. So you can't lose a game here or a game there because of the manager. You just can't. You can't afford to do that.
A few things. Number one, I think it's fair to say that Davey Martinez has made plenty of mistakes. I think every manager in baseball to this point of the season has made a lot of mistakes. And let's say he's made more than the average manager. You should expect that to me when you hire a first-year skipper who has never managed before at any level. Oh, by the way, you want to get in bed, you better know what you're signing up for.
Right.
And they brought in a guy who analytically thinks about the game in a way that is advanced and very futuristic, which I like. But they also hired a guy who's only sat on the bench as a coach with Joe Maddon for many years. I think some of the critiques from Bowden, who I work with and have a good relationship with, Danny, are not 100% fair. When he talks about leaving guys in for nine runs, that looks worse than it actually is when you talk about the fact that their bullpen is utterly spent. One of the games when he, quote-unquote, left someone in for nine runs, Tanner Roark got tattooed for one inning and had a low pitch count and then basically settled in for the next three or four innings and got charged for nine runs, as an example, against Boston a couple of weeks ago, remember. That was a game where their entire bullpen was tapped out.
Yep.
You can't just go to the bullpen because you're down 9-2 in the second inning. Sorry, you can't manage that way. That was one of those days where Tanner Roark is a veteran. He's got an arm that is not going to be injured if he goes out and throws 105 pitches. You've basically lost the game already in the second inning. I need innings out of you. I need length. So he allowed him to stay on the mound and get knocked around. Similarly, with Jeremy Hellickson, that was probably when their bullpen was at its worst shape of the season. This is the comeback game that they actually won that he's referencing. He gave up the nine runs. Now, I would have gone to Jeffrey Rodriguez and after seven runs allowed, pulled Jeremy Hellickson, who was sick. However, he says, well, you shouldn't have started him. Well, then I guess you're starting Rodriguez, who just got called up from the minors and could have only given you a few innings, number one. Number two, you need another starter like Austin Voth or someone to make a start. You might as well just sign up for a loss.
You punt that game, yeah.
So I think it's easier to critique him for how many, quote-unquote, runs he's allowing pitchers to stay in the game and give up. The specifics of the situation, and JB's not here in Washington watching games every single night for nine innings, I think dictates sometimes different results than what the average manager should do in the average situation.
Yeah, so there's only when you keep reshuffling the deck, but the same cards keep coming up. What I mean is you can't say, hey, Bryce, hit 100 points higher. Hey, Daniel Murphy, get back from your microfracture knee surgery quicker. Hey, Adam Eaton, turns out you don't need an ankle surgery after your knee injury, and we thought it was okay. I don't know if any of those things are Davey's fault. But to me, June, it's kind of like, I don't know what we do because they are free-falling, they're scuffling, nothing is going right. They're the worst offense and the worst pitching staff in baseball, basically, in June. I think April is where you need to be more critical of Davey Martinez. Not you specifically, but one should be. Because you're in a month where you went 11-16, and that was after you won the first couple games of the month against Cincinnati and Atlanta. So you really went 9-16 in a stretch of 25 games where you rode the same three horses all the time into the ground, talking about your best bullpen arms. Mattson still hasn't been the same since then. And now Kinsler's had a DL trip, and now so too is Sean Doolittle on the disabled list. Your offense was garbage. Nothing was going right, and you kept trying to squeeze out another drop to get yourself a win or two at the expense of some of these relievers. This was a starting staff that in April and May was among the best in baseball, with the most pitches thrown, the most innings in baseball, and still somehow your bullpen is gassed. A lot of that math doesn't normally work out on most teams. If you've got a group that leads baseball in innings pitched, pitches thrown, all that kind of stuff, very rare that a group that's 14th in baseball in innings in terms of a bullpen would be as gassed as they are, but here we are. The recipe, I think, was what happened in April. You want to fault Davey for that? My hand raised. I absolutely think so. Now, I don't know what you're supposed to do to try to squeeze out some more wins because nothing was going well. But at the same time, maybe you can not go well but rest some guys.
I
that
also
makes sense.
Take a little bit of issue with the comp to Cora and to Aaron Boone. And this to me is no different than my philosophy on coaching in the NFL as an example. But those guys are managing better teams. You just saw Boston come in here. That was varsity against JV.
Mm-hmm.
With what the Nats are trotting out right now and what those teams are trotting out, the Yankees and the Red Sox are superior. They should be managing to better records. Bowden's, they should be having a lot more success.
Bowden's point, though, is this group should be on that level. That's
I disagree.
Point. I would disagree
if
with that.
If they were healthy, maybe. I think he's wrong based on the health.
Right.
And if the Yankees were playing most of the year without Stanton or Judge and without Gleyber Torres for the majority of the first half, and because my comp would be that the Nats have been without two of their top three, maybe four hitters, but I would even say three. Last year at this time, you got Murphy and Zim both as leading front runners for the MVP award.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they've given you absolutely nothing until Murphy over the last couple days, basically. But the notion that they should be on par with those two teams based on 60% of the rotation having been on the disabled list missing starts, 40% of the rotation missing major time, no way. I mean, those rotations have largely been healthy. Their best players have been on the field and playing very well. I don't even know, can you blame Davey Martinez that Bryce Harper's had a bad first half? Maybe you can. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not saying
you
can't.
I don't either.
But I know Bryce Harper loves Davey Martinez, and He certainly doesn't seem to think that the manager's part of his problem. Here was Bowden as he went in a little bit more detail on how to fix some of the managerial issues and maybe more involvement from the higher-ups in the organization.
I think Dave will be able to adjust and be the guy, but I think when you have a rookie manager like that, the front office has to have a little bit more control and a little bit more ordering of how to handle pitching and how to handle lineups and those kind of things. I just think you have to get more involved on a regular basis. And over the years, I was a GM for 16 years. When I had an experienced manager like Davey Johnson, not a lot of issues, right? But when I had rookie managers, and I did that on two or three different occasions, it's a lot more work for the front office because you don't have time to wait for them to get experience, you know, especially when you have a team like this where the expectations, quite frankly, are World Series or bust with this team. So, you know, you got to get heavily involved, and you can't let the way he's handling a pitching staff or the way he's handling lineups or the way he's playing certain players, you can't let him make mistakes. So, unfortunately, you have to get more involved than you want to.
So that's Jim Bowden, who was a GM here in Washington before Mike Rizzo. Let's pose this on the phones next. We got a chance to take some calls before Sean Doolittle joins us at 10:45. What are your thoughts on Davey Martinez so far in his first season with the Nationals? 800-636-1067. Nobody is saying he is responsible for them barely being over 500. We can all agree that the injuries have absolutely crushed this team's chances at being the best version of themselves. But that also doesn't mean that he should be devoid of criticism, that he hasn't botched things, maybe more things than you would have anticipated even for a first-year manager. Where are you at on the skipper of the Nats? We'll give you our opinions. We'll take your calls next. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's audible at the line. 52 is Mike. 52 is Mike. Tobacco, tobacco, tobacco. We're checking the play. Sean Doolittle was going to join us at 10:45. He's on the Mattress Warehouse hotline right now, though. Sean, it's Grant and Danny. Good to catch up with you again, man. How you been?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm sorry. I'm a little high maintenance these days. I appreciate you calling an audible for me.
Well, when you become an all-star, you get the inflated ego in the head. That's what happens. Congrats, brother. Proud of you, man. Really excited for you.
Thank you, guys. I'm very happy, and I'm looking forward to playing that all-star card any chance I get.
Yes, you absolutely should. You're a two-time all-star now in both leagues. So we'll have to get a feel from you when it's all said and done, which is more fun, to be an all-star for the NL or the AL. But you're on the disabled list, and it doesn't seem like you're going to be able to pitch in the game, which is unfortunate. Is there a good story, like a weird baseball, you were packing your luggage or you ironed a shirt while it was on you kind of thing? What happened?
Yeah, I was walking to the field the other day, and there was a litter of puppies that was trapped on train tracks.
Wow.
And I had to jump onto the tracks. There was a train coming, and I was trying to save the puppies, and I got my foot kind of twisted on the rail, you know. But I got the save, and it was worth it.
Wow, that's very exciting. And honestly, a few days without you on the hill, I mean, Kelvin Herrera, Ryan Madsen and company are going to be tasked with a little bit more workload. But to save some puppies, what kind of puppies were they, by the way?
They were these beautiful golden retrievers.
Wow, golden retriever puppies, too.
I thought he was going to say Dalmatians, and he saw Cruella de Vil down the line in the ransom note or something.
He doesn't know that I'm anti-golden retriever, by the way.
Yeah, because Grant has a ridiculous stance, Sean. I know we got to talk baseball at some point, but his stance is that
Grant doesn't have any ridiculous stances. I find that hard to believe.
That's a good point, Sean.
I like this Sean Doolittle fella. Grant thinks that golden retrievers, I think, are, quote, too slobbery. Is that
true? Two things. One, they slobber way too much. They're disgusting.
They're the cutest dogs we have.
If you've ever seen a golden retriever, it's got slobber all over its face, which is awful.
Just not true.
And the second thing is, they are hairy and they shed everywhere. They're big. They're encumbersome. They don't know it. I really couldn't be paid enough to have a golden retriever.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll make sure that these puppies find a good home. And I guess I can cross you off the list then, I guess.
You can, but I will say that if you ever find a French bulldog on a train track or anything, give it to me, and I'm still glad that you saved the puppies.
Yeah, I mean, you're a hero.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, French bulldog, they don't breathe loudly at all or anything like that. They don't snore. Yeah.
There's nothing.
I see your point.
There's nothing odd about French bulldogs.
That's just a service ace from Doolittle right past the helpless Paulson.
That was really well done.
Sean, what's the prognosis, man? What is it? Just you kick your feet up for a couple weeks? There's a lot of like ice in that stim machine on like the ball of your foot. What are you doing?
Yeah, so we're just really trying to let things calm down in there right now. I had to test it the other day. We cranked it up because I after being day to day for a few days, we really needed to see where it was at. And I got off the mound, and it felt okay during that bullpen session, but pretty soon after it really flared up again. And so right now we're just trying to let it calm down. That nerve that runs through it's kind of on the bridge of the foot, almost kind of up above the first and second toe, and it's inflamed. The swelling's gone down, but there's really no timetable for it. I mean, because it's a nerve, it's a little bit different. But we got the boot. I got this cool Adidas walking boot that I'm walking around in right now, and we're just trying to take some of the pressure off and let it calm down, and then we'll start working our way back.
Not pitching in the All-Star game, which I'm assuming is the case, right? There's no way you're going to throw in the game? Okay.
No.
Obviously a blow and stings the nostrils, but are you going to get to participate in some of the things still? I mean, what's your All-Star experience going to be like?
Yeah, I mean, unless they're going to let me use the All-Star game as like my rehab assignment, which, I don't know. I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but no, you know what? I will participate in everything that they will let me participate in. I'm still obviously going to go, and I'm super excited to really just be a part of that whole experience and all the craziness that is, the All-Star Week. I did do it one time, but it's such a whirlwind. It goes by so fast because, you are really busy. There's a lot of things going on. And, I don't know. It's really hard to make it in the first place. It's really hard to make it as a reliever. I mean, I want to experience every last little bit of this. So they're not getting rid of me that easy. I'll be there. I can't hit in the home run derby either. That's a big bummer. I'll be in uniform for the game. I just won't be able to pitch.
Sean Doolittle with us, all-star closer for the Washington Nationals. Well-deserved all-star nod with us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Sean, I think my favorite thing going right now about when you pitch is everybody's obviously so geared up for the fastball, and it's when you drop in the occasional slide piece or a changeup or something like that, because it's not all the time. It's just enough to put it in the back of somebody's head, and there's a split second of you mother on the face of the hitter that makes me grin. It makes me so happy. Are you consciously doing that a little bit more, or is it just something that you noticed about how guys are approaching you at the dish, or what's up with that?
It's a combination of both, but it starts with since I got over here, it's been. Sorry, I don't know if you could hear that truck just drive by. I'm in the service tunnel underneath the stadium. Since I got over here, I've been working really hard on a lot of developing that off speed stuff. And when the catcher puts it down, I feel like it's a weapon. I feel like it's something I can attack hitters with. So I've really my confidence in those pitches has come a long way. And before it was a pitch where I kind of threw to even maybe steal a strike or something, maybe try to surprise the hitter. But now it's something I really feel like I can attack with. And like you said, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but if we can throw it just enough to keep them off balance, to keep it in the back of their mind, to have them kind of wonder, is this the time, I know this guy throws 90% fastballs, but is this the time he's going to throw me something else? It can make the fastball just that much more effective.
Sean Doolittle and Grant and Danny, you guys are 4-2 with a chance to win a second straight series since your players-only meeting a lot was made about that. Do those generally for you, do you find that they work? Are you guys playing better because inevitably you were going to, or do you think that was a turning point, critical moment?
Like you said, we're 4-2 since then, so I can definitely stand here and say that it's because of the meeting. come out of a meeting, come come out of a meeting, you win 4-6. I mean, it was definitely good job by us calling the players meeting. I think it was a really productive meeting because we do have really good veteran leadership in this clubhouse. We have a lot of guys who've been through a lot and experienced a lot of different things in this game, and they have that perspective to know when to call a meeting like that, and you know really what to say. I think it was good that we had the meeting after a game. So oftentimes when you have a players meeting, you know you have it before the game. You come in from batting practice and you get together and you have this meeting, and you feel great going into the game, and you almost play with like too much energy, and inevitably almost every time you lose, and you're like, you know, all right, what was the point of that meeting? So a lot of times, like you don't want to call a meeting, because if you do it before a game, it's almost a guaranteed loss. So I think being able to do it after the game, kind of sit with what we talked about, let that digest, and come to the field the next day. We won 3 in a row coming out of that meeting. So I think it was good. We got to put some things on the table, and it was kind of a reminder of some of the things that we need to do that we had gotten away from.
Sean Doolittle for another moment here on The Fan. All right, before we let you go, I want to tell you a quick story and just get your reaction to it. I think you'll enjoy it. So last night I had been texting back and forth for a split second with Brandon Kinstler, okay, right after the game. So this morning I got a text from my wife when I woke up, and I went to respond to her, and I sent an embarrassing text message to Brandon Kinstler that was meant for her, and I just want to see what you think about this.
It's a bad exchange, Sean. So, Grant doesn't look real good here.
All right, so I said to him, again, this was meant for my wife, but you guys play today on our radio station at noon, so that means Danny and I only have to do a 2-hour show instead of a 4-hour show. So I sent her a text, and I said, guess who gets to come home early today to play with his little girl? But it wasn't her. It was my puppy, who I mentioned, the French bulldog, Fiona. So,
yep.
But I sent Kinstler this text message, and I said, guess who gets to come home early today to play with his little girl? And I was talking about my French bulldog. I can't tell you what Kinstler responded, because it would get him in trouble, me in trouble, and everyone listening in trouble.
Lawsuits, Sean.
But just know that that happened. What are your thoughts on that? Isn't it's he the fine. Perfect sure. person? He's the perfect sure. person to send that to.
He's so salty.
People will. I'm sure he'll forget all about it, and it won't ever come up. And I'm sure it's fine. It's not. It's really not that funny.
Yeah, he probably hasn't even thought about it since it happened.
Oh man.
Pretty good. Well, congratulations on the All-Star game, and a good job tweeting Smash Mouth, and we're sorry that you can't pitch in it, but we'll see you soon.
Yeah, it's cool, buddy. Congrats.
Yeah, guys. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Sean Doolittle of the Nationals here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. A few guys do want to weigh in on Davey Martinez, so we can wrap up hour number one talking about Martinez next at 800-636-1067. Redskins training camp countdown at 11 o'clock hour right here on The Fan. Jim Bowden, former GM, right here on Grant and Danny, as heard yesterday. You're listening to the flagship home for the Nats. They play today just after noon. Charlie and Dave have your pregame, and then 12:35 first pitch. We're taking your calls on Davey Martinez in light of what Bowden had to say. I think he is more down on the manager than probably most people in baseball are. And I certainly think the Nationals are higher on his first half than Bowden has been. Look, Bowden comes from the GM perspective. He's very close with Mike Rizzo. He knows that Rizzo handed him a really good team, and the results haven't been very good. My take is that the reason they're barely over 500 is mostly based on injuries. But if you want to knock Martinez for how often he's gone to relievers on a third day, I think you could do that. If you want to knock him for how much he worked starters at the beginning of the year, and at this point, how long he's let guys stay in some games where they were getting roughed up as Bowden did, it's probably within reason to do that. I think there are reasons for it, though, that if you watch every day are much more obvious, such as, I can't take this guy out in the second inning even though he's given up 6 runs. I got 2 relievers available, otherwise everyone's throwing on the third day again. I can't have him out in the third inning. I'm sorry that he got his chest kicked in, but yeah, he's going to have to wear it for a little while.
For me, there is just criticism, and that is the number of guys, especially ones that have had arm trouble, that are overworked. I mean, they had to send Sammy Solis down to the minors, basically, because he was on pace for a staggering number of appearances, someone that's already had Tommy John. The number of 3 days in a row, the number of high leverage usage of a bullpen when your starting rotation has still thrown among the most innings in baseball, something doesn't jive there. You're trying so desperately back in April to win a game, and you weren't winning anyway, and you're still riding these guys into dust. That's been frustrating. The fact that they haven't figured out a way to consistently score runs, I don't know who I put that on. I really don't. I don't know that that's a David Johnson thing. I don't know if it's a Kevin Long thing. I don't know if it's an organizational thing. I don't know. I don't know. I do know that you can't get shut out 8 times since June 1st. And is that on him? That's really hard to say. It's like an offense in the NFL. If a guy's wide open and he drops a pass, who's at fault?
Well, let me jump in real quick. I don't think it's that hard to say that a shutout isn't on the manager. I don't know how it would be. I mean, eight times in 30 days? What could you say? He tweaks the lineup too much, or he's not putting the best lineup out there or something?
I don't know. My point is each individual game has a story.
It's yes. Where,
well, they had runners at second and third and nobody out
how
for
about
the 50th
hitters
time.
Hitters come through
score.
And you don't get shut out.
Right. But sometimes, yeah, it's that simple. Sometimes, like, there was a bases-loaded, nobody-out situation in the game. I think they got shut out, or maybe they scored 1 or 2 runs. The first guy, Adam Eaton, hit a line shot to the left fielder.
Yeah,
there's no manager fault there, no batter fault there, just what happens. It's baseball. Then the next couple guys, of course, flubbed it away, struck out, and that was the end of the inning. So is there something that he could do? I've seen him early on in the season when they were struggling. He tried a safety squeeze with Michael A. Taylor, and it worked. And sometimes the safety squeeze doesn't work. Has he hit and run enough? Has he sent Trey Turner to try to be more aggressive on the bat? The point is, not every time is it on the manager, but is there something more that could be done? I don't know each individual time. It's hard to say from a macro perspective. I know this, they're underachieving, and the biggest change that was made was a guy that won 192 games over 2 years, is no longer here, and a new coaching staff and manager here. There's something to that, and
to a way worse injury situation, a way worse starting rotation, way more injuries in your starting rotation, and way less effective starting pitching, and a bullpen that has been taxed because of it. Worst thing that you can do, the reason why when you look at teams at the beginning of the year and you say, can this team win a division, can this team make the playoffs, is you look at the starting pitching. And the reason for that is if you don't get depth from your starting pitching, not only does your rotation stink, which means you can't win a lot of games, but your bullpen is going to stink too because of what we've seen. Because last night, finally, you got a good start, and they had to get their starter out of the game after 5 innings, by the way, to pinch it for Jeremy Hellickson to have a big inning because they were only up 2-0 at the time. But they're going to win when they get good starting pitching like they did last night. Other than when Max Scherzer throws, they have not had that for weeks on end. And what has happened is their entire bullpen, which has also been dealing with injuries, I understand, but those guys have been completely overworked. Now, has Martinez made plenty of mistakes along the way? Yes. I just think to say that, and I don't know that Jim Bowden was completely doing this, but he was alluding to the fact that Cora's better, or that Boone is better. I guess Kapler's better as well. Those guys have had better, cleaner situations to manage in this year.
We agree. We certainly agree there. The thing that I think we'll disagree about is I think you underestimate the severity of what was going on last year, both in terms of how disastrous the bullpen was for nearly 3 months and the injury situation that they navigated through incredibly. You got performances from double-A hitter Brian Goodwin, who hit 13 homers for you. You had amazing things happen. I know that some of the specifics of these injuries were bad. I also know that when they had great starting pitching in April, they were still basically 9-16. And that's not all on the fact that they had some bad injury luck, which they did. But I think they've had bad injury luck a bunch, even in the 95, 96, 98 winning season.
They absolutely have, but not to the level of the quality of the player that they have this year, where I keep saying this, two of the four most important players in this offense have given you nothing for a first half. Mm-hmm. You point to last year as this year where they were so injured and had all these problems. Last year at this point, Bryce Harper had been healthy and had been playing way better than he has been. Daniel Murphy had been healthy and was potentially the MVP of the National League. If it wasn't him, it was Ryan Zimmerman who had been healthy. Take just those two guys alone. Forget Bryce Harper for a moment, who's going to be starting in the All-Star game, but who hasn't played well. But the other two guys who carried this team in the first half last year have given you zero this year. And the other key is, last year at this time in the rotation, they were not missing any starts. Joe Ross was the only guy who I think was injured before the season started or whatever happened with him. Right. I don't even remember the specifics. But their fifth starter, which is the equivalent of, they didn't have Jeremy Hellickson when the year began. They began basically without a fifth starter. But that role. So you would have four guys in front of him. Well, this year they have had three guys because Strasburg's been out now as much as he was in for.
Yeah, the Strasburg injury has obviously been big.
So you've had one of your two best pitchers out. Didn't have that last year at this point. You've had two of your top four hitters out. You didn't have that last year at this point. You could say, I guess, that, yeah, they had a bunch of injuries. They did. It wasn't at the same level because it wasn't Murphy, and it wasn't Zimmerman, and it wasn't Strasburg. Correctly, three of the highest paid players in this organization because they've got to carry you. And it's just a huge difference. But just like they need Harper to be better in the second half, and they need Rendon and Murphy to be more consistent, who are fringe all-stars, and they need everyone in this organization just about, other than Scherzer and Doolittle probably, to be better in the second half. They need Martinez, who's a first-year manager, to learn from some of his mistakes and be better in the second half as well. Grant and Danny on the Fan at 11:15, Danny. Let's get into our countdown to training camp.
Yeah, man.
14 questions, 14 days. Next, LeSean McCoy could be in big, big trouble.
Yeah, dude, this looks bad.
It looks really, really bad. If you guys don't know the specifics of this story, you're going to want to listen to the show next. His ex-girlfriend got attacked in her home and beaten at gunpoint with a pistol. And it sounds like the person who did it had a lot of information about jewelry that McCoy had given her that she still has that McCoy had wanted back at some point. The NFL is sifting through all the details right now, and we'll go through some of them next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.